this morning's message is called Defining Characteristics of Babies. I have some 22 of them here. I don't know that we could do all of them. I really try and keep my comments on each one brief, lest we wear somebody out. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty to preach, power to preach. I pray that you would open the hearts, the minds, and the understanding of the hearer. May the Holy Spirit do a work in our midst. Lord, I pray especially now for my wife and Samantha and the children, and Brother Mark, as they travel. I pray that you'd be gracious to us. Get them home safely without any trouble or any problems. My Father, you know we'll thank you and praise you for that. And we just ask that you would keep your hand upon them. Blessing our service this morning. Father, folks not here this morning are on vacation. I pray that you give them a good time and let them enjoy themselves, conduct themselves in a Christian manner wherever they may be. They might be a witness, a testimony for thee. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, I like babies. I really like them since mine are all grown. I especially like them when you can send them home with somebody else. That's my favorite kind. I like to play with them and wear them out and get them all wound up and get them all excited and hand them back to Mama. That's a great thing. Amen? Somebody say amen. Nobody said amen because you still got them kids hanging around the house. I love having grandkids up in front of me and man, I can bring them down the house and we can play and eat till they get sick and do all kind of stuff, you know. And then when they get fussy and cranky or when I get fussy and cranky, I just send them up the hill. I said, boy, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's the way God intended it to be. And I like young'uns. I feel sorry for anybody that doesn't like young'uns, doesn't have any. Now, I know some people can't. Some people don't want to. That's fine, not being ugly or derogatory. It's a personal matter. I understand that. But boy, I'm telling you, if you don't have kids, if you've never been around them, you have missed some of life's greatest blessings. If you don't have children, it's easy to become very selfish, very self-centered. You get kids, buddy, I guarantee you won't be selfish long, because you'll find out how to give. Amen? Because they're going to get it all. But there are some wonderful things about having children. There's a lot of responsibility, a lot of obligation. And there are some things about it that tires you and wears you. And sometimes you get so frustrated you can pinch your little heads off of it if they're dying. But, amen. But you got to love them. There ain't nothing in this world like them. Now, it said as newborn babes. So, when a person gets saved, regardless of their age, they're a newborn babe in Christ. And there are a lot of similarities that I've noticed over the years between new Christians and new babies. Now, the problem is, there's nothing wrong with a newborn Christian being a baby. A problem I found is that some of them stay babies. We have abnormal babies. When the time comes that they should have grown and matured, they're still babies. And that's a great tragedy. You'd find something wrong, and you'd be really concerned if your little babies didn't put on weight, if they didn't grow, if they didn't start to walk, if they didn't learn how to talk, if after a while they couldn't tie their shoes and feed themselves, if you couldn't potty train them, if they forever stayed an infant, you'd have every specialist in the country trying to find out what in the world is wrong with them, because that's not normal. Amen? We love it as babies go through the different stages of development. You know, when you first bring them home and they're a little red wrinkled thing laying in your arm, about 5.5 to 8 pounds, and you just plug a bottle in, clean them up, plug a bottle in, goo them and coo them, put that Johnson baby oil and stuff on them. They smell so sweet and they're so soft, and we just love them to death. But the honest truth is they're not a lot of fun, and they don't do anything. Amen? You love them because of what they are and who they belong to and what you had to go through to get them, and that's fine. But they really are a whole lot more interesting when they start crawling. It's unbelievable to watch them as they develop. They discover their tongue. And I've seen little babies lay there for hours going, "So what is he doing?" "I don't know. He just found that thing and he just figured out how it worked and he's just playing with it." You ever watch them lay on their back and they'll find their feet? That, you know, they lay down and they fold their legs up on their chest anyway and their little feet stick up in the air. And one day they spot them. They got them hands on them and they pull on the toes and they push and they kick and they discover each and every part of their anatomy. And it's fun to watch them. They do the silliest things. They're funny. Then they start to grow and they start to crawl. Now, life has no more pleasure after that. You never know where you're going to find them. Under the bed, under the couch, under the rocking chair, in the cat's box. God only knows where they're liable to turn up. And you see them doing the dumbest stuff. When I was growing up, my wife used to keep a camera sitting on the kitchen counter all the time. See why? Because you never know what you're going to find them little knuckleheads doing. And it was the funniest stuff when she clicked them pictures. And now we look back at them, you know, and it's hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. Children are a blessing. They're a trial and tribulation. They get fussy. They get cranky. Sometimes they get spoiled. That's not their fault, but when they get spoiled, they're hard to deal with. I mean, they're little brats, you know, and that takes some of the joy out. But overall, they're worth it. I wouldn't trade mine for anything in the world. And I never met anybody that had any that would. You just learn to love them. They grab your heart. But I've been watching them for years and years. And I've been watching church people for years and years. And I'm going to tell you the truth, I can't tell the two apart. For the most part, you can't tell them apart. I've been watching them and listening to them and dealing with them. And there just don't seem to be a whole lot of difference between a newborn baby, a little baby. I'm talking about from the time it's born up till it's, oh, 2 or 3, 4 years old, whenever you quit calling them babies, you know. I know they're babies, and then they're toddlers, and they're a young child, and all that, and pre-adolescent, and adolescent, and imbecile, and whatever the next stage is, you know. They go through that imbecile thing from about 14 to 25. somebody say amen. Anybody ever raised them, say amen. So little babies, little youngins, are funny. I'm going to give you some characteristics that define babies. These things are pretty much true of all babies at some point, if they're normal. Number one, babies require constant watch care. You can't take your eyes off of them. In the crib, you got to watch them. They'll get down between the slats. Amen. You put them in the floor. And somehow that little sucker can scoot himself over and get his head and his neck under the rocker on the rocking chair. You got to watch them all the time. And boy, the minute they learn to crawl a little bit, or when they get to where they can walk, you can't take your eyes off of them for 15 seconds. It is amazing how fast they can move to be so little and to be so unstable. You say, well, I put them right there in the middle of the living room floor, and before they can get to anything, I'll see them. And you turn your back to get a glass of water and turn back around, and that kid said, where'd that kid go? It's under something. It's in something. You've got to watch them. You've got to watch them. I'm telling you, it's like newborn Christian. Folks get saved, make a profession of faith, and you better watch them or they'll be gone. I mean, folks get saved these days, and you say, well, aren't they in church? Didn't they get saved? Well, I don't know if they did or not. I'll take their word for it. They say they did. They say they trusted Christ. So where are they at? I don't know. We took our eyes off of them for 15 seconds, and the little devil's gone. Amen? You got to watch them. You got to encourage them. You got to go see them. You got to call them on the phone. You got to do all kind of things to them to help them out and keep them safe. Amen? Now, I got to go quicker than this, or I'm not going to get all these done. And then y'all have to get a part two, man. I found this with babies. Babies require a lot of rest. They just get tired real easy. You feed them, get them warm and comfortable, they'll go to sleep. In an hour or two, they're going to wake up and they want to play a while. Usually that's between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. Amen? And they want to goo and coo and play around and just have a good old time, and you're trying to sleep. But they stay up for an hour or two, and you give them a bath and clean them up and lay them back down, give them another bottle, and they'll sleep. They probably sleep 16, 18 hours out of 24. You know, when they're 2 or 3 years old, they still sleep all night long. You put them to bed at 6:30, 7 o'clock, they sleep in the morning, and then you got to give them a nap, or sometimes little ones, you give them a couple of naps during the day. So why? Well, they get worn out. They don't have a lot of energy. Well, I found newborn baby Christians are like that. They require a lot of rest. You can't get them to do a lot of work. They wear out real easy. You put much on them, and they give up on you. You just wear them out. So you got to be real careful what you expect out of newborn Christians. I think sometimes churches expect way too much out of them. We want them to act like they're full grown and in the prime of their life, and they can pick up 200 pounds and walk, you know, on each shoulder and walk off with. Well, they can't. They're little babies. And sometimes you can get them involved in too much, get them committed to too much, and they can't handle the load. It wears them out. I think a lot of times churches do a lot of damage to newborn Christians because they want them to do too much. Now, I know there's a big danger of not getting them to do anything. I understand that. But too much is as bad as nothing because you're going to lose them either way. Number three, I found this about babies. Babies have to be fed little bitty meals. You bring a newborn home, and what do they take? 2-3 ounces? Somebody's got one. When they first come home, 2-3 ounces, 2 ounces. That's a tiny little meal. And they're on that for a while, and then pretty soon they start to grow, and you say, oh, the baby gained 6 ounces last week. The baby gained a pound last month. So how much is he eating? Oh, he's drinking 6 and 8 ounces at a whack now. And I've noticed, you know, you ever noticed that used to you give out Coca-Cola's little like 6 ounce thing or something? And now they got 32 ounces. And people go in and buy them to drink. We used to buy one that big for family. Now you go down and get the big gulp thing, you know. 46 ounces in a cup. Amen. Little baby starts out with 2 ounces, no time at all. He's at 6 or 8 ounces. I figure one of these days, the way things are going, pretty soon we'll get a gallon jug and strap it to their shoulder. You know? You got to feed babies little meals. They got little bitty tummies. Amen? Well, listen, baby Christians are like that. You got to give them baby meals. People say, well, I wish the preacher would teach more doctrine and do some in-depth Bible study. Yes, so you can choke on it, right? Do you know what happens when you feed little baby Christians great big meals? When people don't study, they say, well, I read my Bible every day. Well, you ought to read your Bible every day. I'm not talking about reading your Bible. I'm talking about studying your Bible. Now, anybody that's ever studied the Bible find out it's time-consuming and it's hard work. It's like getting on a computer. People say, well, I'm just going to get on there for a few minutes. First thing you know, they've been there 4 hours. You get studying that Bible, that thing will run away with you. I've started out a lot of nights, you know, get home, take a shower and eat dinner and sit down to study a little while, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm still sitting there and I'm so stiff I can't move. Amen? Now listen, you take a little old baby that doesn't read much and doesn't study much and doesn't know much, if you give them a whole lot, you do more damage than you do good. You overfeed them, they get bloated, they get the colic, they'll throw up on you. Amen. He said, well, our preacher just baby feeds us. I wonder why. I'll tell you why, because most Christians don't study. Oh, most Christians don't even read. Almost nobody studies. Studying is hard work. Making of books and studying is the weird flesh, and making books there is no end. I'm telling you, wear yourself out. Have you ever noticed this? Babies are cranky when they're awakened from their nap. Now, you let them get sound asleep. Little sucker is just wore And he's laying there sleeping just as peaceful as anything can be. Of course, now when he's sleeping, he's not doing anything. And when baby Christians are asleep, they're not doing anything for God either. Amen. So you wake them up. He's going, come on, you got to get up. We got to go. Oh, my soul. Them little suckers can throw a fit. They are crabby. They are irritable. Nothing makes them happy. Nothing pleases them. They whine. They cry. They throw little fits. You say, what's wrong with him? Well, he was sound asleep and you woke him up and he's mad. That's what it is. He is ticked off because you bothered him. Amen? Listen, a lot of times newborn Christians, we get them in the church and they're sitting there fat, dumb, and happy with their lives. They just got saved and they've still got all their old friends and they've got all their old habits and they've got all their old ideas and they're just happy as they can be. They're just rejoicing and reveling in their salvation. Then they come to church and the preacher gets up and says, don't do that. You can't do that anymore. That's not right. Christians don't do that. Wake them up. About time they saw that some things are wrong. There's about time they saw that some things we can't do as God's children. But you know what they do? Man, they've been fast asleep and they're fat, dumb, and happy, and you wake them up and they don't like it. Well, I've been living like that all my life. I'm as saved as you are. And they are. But what they're doing is not right, see? And when you wake them up, boy, can they ever throw a fit? Are they ever cranky? How many of y'all, don't answer this, just keep your hand down. That way I can think everybody here has been through this. I know when I first got saved, I didn't know anything particular was wrong. I just went on living pretty much like I lived before. I mean, I instantly knew for some reason that drinking was wrong. I quit drinking. And I had a sneaking suspicion was cussing. Cussing was sin, but I liked that, so I hung on to that. And amen. There were some things in my life I didn't want to get rid of, see? And nobody said anything, so I'm just sailing along fat, dumb, and happy. And nobody said anything. I'm sound asleep about it. And I'm witnessing to this fella, and I'm just cussing. I'm witnessing for Jesus Christ and cussing at the same time. That's the honest truth. I was a sailor. I've been in the Navy 10 years. I knew how to cuss good. I was a good cusser. Amen. Some of y'all was too. And man, I'm witness this guy, and I'm just cussing, because a lot of cuss words make good illustration for him. And I was having a good time. And he just laid back on the grass and just started laughing. And it made me mad. I said, what in the blankety blank are you laughing at? He said, you ought to hear you. He said, you ought to tell me about God living right. He said, you cussing every other word. It must not be right. It woke me up. Amen. And I thought that thing. Well, I've been talking like this ever since I was a little boy. It's the only way I know how to talk. If I quit, I have to learn a whole new vocabulary. Amen. When we first get saved, we're little baby Christians. We have to get woke up to some things, you know. The way we're living, some of the habits we have, people we run around, places we go, places we go, places we go, places we go. We don't like it. And so we're cranky and irritable. And until we grow enough to understand that thing and get it settled in our heart between us and God, it's going to make us mad. A lot of times folks get mad at the preacher. It ain't the preacher. They woke them up. And they're irritable about it. Because they see a change is coming. Amen. What about this one? Babies are easily conned. You can fool them. You can talk little youngins into anything. They don't know nothing. And they trust all us big folks. Amen? They trust us. And so you can trick them. You can talk them into doing dumb stuff. My father-in-law, before he died, all the little kids in the family, he loved the little young'uns. I mean, he popped trip just. I mean, he loved kids, and he would always get them in there and offer them money, and he'd get a dollar bill and a quarter. He said, "Now you can have whichever one you want, you know." But he had this little spiel he went through, and he talked about that ugly greenback dollar and how wrinkled and ugly it was, and how shiny and pretty that quarter was. He said, "Now, which one do you want?" You know, them fools would take that quarter every time. He conned them. They thought they were getting the best deal because it was shiny and pretty. But the ugly dollar is worth four quarters. Amen. Listen, new converts are like that. They can be conned. You got to be careful who they come in contact with, what they read, and who they listen to, because they get all mixed up inside. It's easy to talk them into the wrong place and get them to believe the wrong thing. And I'm here to tell you, once you put something in somebody's head, it is well nigh impossible to get it out. Amen. If you can keep them straight and keep them sound until they get their feet on the ground, you'll be all right. But boy, if you're not careful, somebody, one of the cults come by and messes with them and gets them all tangled up, or they listen to some buddy of theirs at work that's got some screwball ideas, and he listens to them, and they get all mixed up, hard to ever get them straightened out again. I tell you this about babies. And we're talking about defining character, how you can recognize a baby. Babies only want to play. Anybody here ever see a baby volunteer work? You say, well, you know, I've seen this. I did this with my own grandkids. I sit there and eat a snack or something, and I'll have a wrapper or a dirty plate, and I say, Seth, take this and put it in the sink for Pawpaw. And he gets it, and he goes over, and he puts it in the sink. Broke to a three, you know. Now he's playing. Believe me, the minute that kid found out that was called work, he won't do it anymore. It's your plate. You put it over there. Amen. Stick this in the trash. You push the top up on the trash thing and drop it in there, you know, and then let the lid slam down. He thought we was playing. Try and get him to do that now. Amen. Children like to play. They'll put their toys up as long as they make a game out of it. But as they get a little older and they realize what's going on, you say, put them toys up. Now you took them out, you put them up. Say, why? Because children are into playing. They're into playing. Listen, baby Christians are into playing. They don't know anything. They're not interested in work. They're not qualified to work. They don't know what's going on and what they like to do. They like to play. They like to sing, and they like to fellowship, and they like to eat. You say, we're having food tonight. They show up. You say, we're having a singing. No preaching next Sunday night. Nothing but singing. They show up. Amen. So we're going to sing and fellowship and eat, boy. Everybody turns out. Say, we're going to have a hellfire and brimstone message next Sunday night. No song service, no nothing. Just going to nail your hide to the wall. Let's see how many come. You know why? Because babies are only interested in playing. They just want to have a good time. Man, when they first get saved, they just want to fellowship and talk about the Lord and rejoice, you know, and just have a big old time. And they'll go to the singing and all that. You can't get them to work. You can't get them to do anything. But they'll play. Amen. Babies are attracted to commotion. It's a terrible thing. But when little babies, you take them home, and you know what they do to pacify them? They lay them there in that little bassinet, that little crib, whatever it is, and they hang mobiles up. And the fan blows them. You know, you got them ceiling fans. And they turn and they jingle. And that baby's watching things for hours. Amen? Or they've got a little swing thing. You know, you wind it up, put baby in it, and it pacifies them. They love that motion. They like the action. Amen. The coolest one I ever saw was this guy had this thing that was hooked on a bungee cord like thing that hooked in the rafter in the ceiling. And you put the baby on the end of it, and it would bounce. He could take his little feet and do like that. And it would just bounce. That kid would sit and play on that thing. I like the motion. And you know, newborn Christians are like that. They like stuff that's going on. They're looking for something to do. They're looking for something that's exciting, something that's moving around. They're not looking for an old dead church where nobody's doing nothing. Amen. You go in there and some old fogey's playing some old beat up organ, you know, with funeral music on it. That's all organs are good for. You in one of the only Baptist churches in America that ain't got one and ain't ever going to have one as long as I'm the pastor. I want a rock and roll piano. That's amen. Let that thing move, buddy. I don't want it dead. And I don't want the preaching dead. And I don't want the service dead. And I don't want the people dead. Why? Babies are attracted to action. They want to see some motion. They want something going on. And bless me, God, I'm kind of on their side. I like to see something going on myself. Babies play while important things go on. You ever notice, you ever been someplace and there's a funeral? Somebody died. Everybody going, oh God, they weeping, they cry. I mean, they just pitiful. And Uncle so and so died. Grandpa just checked out, went on to glory. And all of course, most of them lying hypocrite adults ain't all that upset either. There's something about this emotionalism down south that just galls me to death. Because when they're standing in there receiving family and friends, everybody's so serious and everybody's all teary-eyed. But when they stand out on a tree out here smoking them cigarettes, they joking and laughing and carrying on. Man, two-faced devil. But in here, boy, they weeping and crying. But you notice them babies? Grandma just checked out and went home to glory. That little sucker's in the floor playing with his little toy, sucking on his bottle. He ain't upset one bit. It don't bother him a lick. So, well, this is a serious thing here. This is a death. Somebody's gone home to glory. Yeah? That kid don't care. Don't mean a cotton-picking thing. Babies play while important things go on. Folks get saved and are newborn babes in Christ, and boy, they just want to fellowship and listen to the music and eat some song, and the world's dying and going to hell, and there's all kind of ministries that need people to get in them. We need folks in the prison. We need folks in the old folks home. We need folks pressing out tracts on the street. We got a Spanish tract ministry need somebody to take care of, and folks are sitting around on their blessed assurance just playing church. They're playing while important stuff needs to be done. Have you ever noticed this? Babies have almost no attention span. I don't much care what you're doing with them. A couple of minutes and they're ready to look at something else. You say, well, I get this brand new toy. And this will keep them occupied for a month. And they take that toy and they play with it. And as soon as they figure out what it does, they play with it 10 or 15 minutes. They throw that thing down and play with the box the rest of the day. That plastic doesn't taste good. You can't chew on it. It's not supple. That box, that taste. Paper's pretty good. But use good ink. Amen. Have you ever noticed kids spend more time with the box the toy came in than they did with the toy? But they're not going to play with that long. They want something else. They are constantly want something new, something different. They want it changed. They want it upgraded. They don't have much attention span. Listen, new converts, new babies in Christ are like that. You've got to have something to hold their attention. They get bored real easy. Well, is that all there is to this? Is that it? Well, shoot, there ain't nothing to this. You've got to have something going on. There's got to be something in the pulpit to occupy their mind and grasp their heart if you're going to keep them very long. Amen? Now, back in the 1700s, 1800s, all them fellas, Charles G. Finney and all them boys, used to preach 3 hours. Charles Finney and John Wesley would preach till their throat bled. And people would come from miles around and sit and listen to them the whole time. There ain't nobody in America you can keep their attention for 3 hours. I don't care who you are. We don't have 3 hours of attention anymore. Amen. We don't have 3 hours of brain power anymore. Amen. Babies have almost no attention span. And so you've got to keep things moving and keep it lively to keep their attention. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said one time, you keep people's attention with premeditated thoughts. That means the preacher ought to plan his sermon and his illustration and where his emphasis is going to be and where he's going to cry and where he's going to laugh. And he ought to make it look like it's natural. Your spiritual life, but they don't see it. They don't understand it. And when the preacher or somebody gets up and tells them they need to be careful, oh, I'll be all right. Don't worry about me. Well, listen, stupid, we're worried about you anyway. Because we understand you don't know what the devil you're doing. You ever notice that babies always want to do whatever it is they want to do opposite to what they were told? Amen. There's something about that nature, buddy. Which one of my own here? I forgot. You ever notice that babies whine and cry when they don't get their way? I was in Walmart the other day, and this little girl, I wanted to step on her. I didn't, but she needed somebody to step on her. She needed somebody to take her out, pull her diaper down, and bust her little butt. She was throwing a fit. There was something, and I don't know what it was, on one of them shelves that she wanted. And I heard her mama bend over and say, I mean, boy, she was letting her go. And that mama's trying to hush her up and all that, you know. I thought, why don't you bust her butt, lady? She's going to cry anyway. Bless God, give her something to cry about. Amen. Put the board of education on the seat of learning. That'll work. Man, that young'un was throwing a fit. So why? Was it sick? Was it in pain? Had somebody hurt it? God, no. Nobody dared hurt one anymore. I don't know about spanking them. Its only problem was it didn't get what it wanted. Amen. You can always spot little old baby Christians down at the church house because they got an idea for this or an idea for that. And if the preacher don't want to do it, they stand by their little feet throw a fit. Well, I'll go talk to so-and-so and we'll start an insurrection. I preached over at the prison Thursday night. And when I first got over there, this big old fat black guy that plays the piano for him, kind of, sort of, came over to me and said, God, Brother Russell, I'd like to see you at the service today. Okay. So the kids got up and sang, and I preached about an hour, you know, and we got all through. And everybody's leaving, and so I went over and I said, I'm beside this guy. And he said, nah, he said, I'm not the one to stir up anything. I thought, oh, here we go. This one that's not the one to stir things up is fixing to stir up something. He said, I love Brother so-and-so and call the guy's name who's in charge of the group out there, but, and now he wants me to come out on Sunday afternoons and have some music and preach on some Sunday afternoons in a separate group, not under the authorization of the Chosen One prison ministry where he's a member, because the fellow who's in charge of is just not motivated enough, you know. I said, well, brother, I said, I'd be glad to come out here on Sunday afternoon and preach. I said, that'd be fine with me. I said, let me talk to Brother Charles. I said, I don't want to do anything that's going to cause any hostility or friction out here. I said, and I come out here and work through the Chosen One prison ministry. And I I'm not going to do anything to jeopardize that or hurt that. I said, if it's okay with Brother Charles, I'll be glad to do it. He said, well, I'll call you. And he wasn't happy when he left. You know why? He didn't get what he wanted. They whine and they cry when they don't get their way. You know what that guy's problem is? He's a little old baby Christian, thinks he's bigger than he really is, and he's wanting to do it one thing, and the pastor of that group out there has decided it's not a good thing to do for whatever reason, and this boy didn't get his way, so now he's trying to go behind his back. He's throwing a little fit. He's a spoiled baby. Somebody say amen, amen, and amen. And so we have never had that in King James Baptist Church. Not ever. Never had it. Say, why is that? Because ain't nobody in charge of nothing but me. You can't go behind my back. You can't go to my deacons. You can't go to my wife, because my wife don't know what I'm going to do. She ain't got a clue. She finds out Sunday morning when you do. Amen. Amen. Man, is it cutting down all kind of fussing and fighting and schism and stuff. You say, well, that's a dictatorship. You call anything you want. All I know is it works. Amen. I'm pragmatic. I like what works. Where am I at here? I got to hurry. I've noticed this about babies. We're talking about defining characteristics. This is the defining characteristic of a baby. Babies make a mess out of everything. You ever notice that? Put them a new diaper on, they make a mess out of that. Put them on a new shirt, they make a mess out of that. Put them in a room, they make a mess out of that. Amen? They know how to drag out and play with, and they just walk off and leave it. Put them a new shirt on, buy them a cone of ice cream. Guess where the ice cream's at? It's from here to here, and from here to here. It's everywhere. Put them in the car and say, now be careful of that. Don't get in no daddy's car. Okay. It seems like everything they put their hands on, they make a mess out of it, unless there is somebody right there with them to watch over them and keep their hands on them and keep them under control. You can't leave babies alone and not expect them to make a mess. And that's exactly the way it is, little baby Christian. You got to watch over them and shepherd them. My God gave them a church, a pastor. His job is to be a shepherd. Watch over the flock. Why? Because they make a mess out of things if you don't. Ever notice this about babies? Babies cannot be reasoned with. Amen? Now, Sister Candy back here has got a beautiful baby. All of you ought to go back and coo it. That's what little babies are good for. You can smell that Johnson baby powder, and you can goo them and coo them. That's what they're good for. She's just pretty as she can be. Big old eyes, she'll just look at you. Amen? What was I preaching on? I don't remember. Now, I can sit here with Brother Lewis. Well, let me pick somebody to work on. I can sit here with Brother Carroll, and I can reason with Brother Carroll. And we can debate a thing back and forth, the pros and the cons, and I'll know some things, and he'll know some things. And between us, we can probably work it out and get a good many things done. Amen? I'd be double dog dare you to go back there and reason with that baby. You can't reason with him. They don't know what you're talking about, and more than that, they don't care. They just don't care. You can't reason with them. You know why we don't put things up for votes and let everybody have their opinion and their voice and all that? Because you can't reason with them. Amen. That's the reason God gave a baby a mom and a daddy. Mom and daddy don't ask the baby what's best for the baby or what the baby wants to do. We just do what we know is best for the baby. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? You ever learn? This is a defining characteristic of a baby. Babies cannot learn difficult lessons. I remember when Seth finally learned to tie his shoes. The boy, he's mentally retarded. The kid is, he's sharp as a tack. But there's some things that just don't work in his head. Seth should have been a tank. He thinks everything can be accomplished with brute strength. Hit it, knock it down, drive through. I mean, That's just his approach to everything. There's nothing delicate or tender about Seth. And he was having a time learning to tie his shoes. He figured out how to climb in a tree that his brother couldn't get in. He figured out how to get something that weighed twice as big as him in the back of my truck. He couldn't even pick it up. He'd asked me, he said, "Pa, can I put this in your truck?" I said, "If you can get it in there." So help me, he did. He just works that way. Couldn't tie his shoes. Make the biggest mess you ever seen in your life. Now, as he got older, he finally figured out how to do it. But it took him a long time because there was something about that that was just complicated to him. And you got to watch. There are certain things little babies just aren't ready to learn. And you can spend all kind of time trying to teach it to them and show it to them. They simply don't have the mental faculties yet to get it. Now, they will down the road. So we teach things and we instruct children on an age-appropriate level. What they're ready for. Amen. And I think you ought to stay just on the cutting edge of that. You ought to be challenging them all the time to make their minds work. I believe that. But you got to understand that it's real easy to go too far, too quick, and they just can't get it. And that's the way it is with newborn Christians. You got to give them a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. You can overload them. Amen. Babies are always getting into things they shouldn't. I'm going to skip that one. Babies are incapable of commitment. Suppose I go back here to Sister Candy's baby, and I say, "Sweetheart, how you doing?" Yeah. She just goo and coo, carry on. I said, "Listen, I want you to promise that you'll be at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Okay? Now give me your word." Am I wasting my time? Why? She can't make the commitment. She's too young. Too unknowledgeable. I'm wasting my time. You can't get that baby to make a commitment. And I'm here to tell you that when folks first get saved, they can't make commitments either. They don't know what's going on. And if they told you yes, it doesn't mean anything. You've got to give them a little time to grow. You've got to give them a little time to get established. You've got to give them a little time to know what's going on. Then you can get them to commit to little things. Little things. A little here and a little. And as they grow and get bigger and stronger, you can get them to commit more and more. Amen? Amen. Here's some fellow just got saved and he makes $100 a week. And so, boy, you know, we're big on tithing. And so I get down there and say, "All right, my brother, you need to make a commitment to God that you're going to get 10% of your income every week." Well, this guy just got saved. He's in debt up to his ears. Now, he needs to tithe. He needs to tithe no matter how much he owes or who he owes it to. The honest truth is, the right thing to do is tithe. Amen. You ought to pay God before you pay anybody else. I believe that. Would you ever try to get a baby to make that kind of commitment? Well, preacher, I don't know. They're fearful. They're fearful. They're hesitant to make that kind of commitment. Now, as they grow and understand, a lot of times they will. They ought to. They should have right off the bat. But they're babies. Sometimes it takes a little while. Amen. Now, preacher's not supposed to say that, you know. We're just supposed to push the issue of you need to give, give, give. Where am I at? Babies are consumed with self. You know the only thing that exists in the whole wide world to a baby is the baby. Now I know when it gets hungry, it wants mama. If it gets scared or hurt, it wants mama. But if everything is A1 okie dokie, you know what the baby's interested in? The baby. They are self-centered. They are consumed with themselves. You watch children. I come home every afternoon. My grandkids come. They get a little older now. They don't cruise quite as much as they used to. But I'd come home, and they would wait in the front yard to hear my truck. And when they heard that truck, they'd come running out to the road, all three of them wanting to drive. Because I'd take turns. I'd let them get up on my lap, and I'd let them drive the truck from the road down to my house. It's probably 75 yards. But you've got to make a turn. But they love to drive that diesel truck. It's like dying and going to heaven. Amen? And every day they come out there, let me drive, my turn, let me. Take them back to the swimming pool, and right now, if they come home this afternoon, and we let them go out to the swimming pool, if I walk out on the back deck, they'll say, Paul, watch this, I can do so-and-so. No, Paul, watch me. What are they interested in? They didn't ask me where I've been all day, how my day been, what have I been up to, has it been a tough day? They ain't mentioned it. First thing out of their mouth, the last thing out of their mouth is, watch me. It's me. Like two little kids, you know, had a tricycle. One of them said, one of us could ride this better if you'd get off. Let's play Zorro. I'll be Zorro. They're concerned with themselves. And newborn Christians are like that. They're not caught up in the cause of Christ and the ministry and all that. They're caught up in their own lives and their own problems and their own issues, their own likes and their own dislikes. Now, they'll grow and they'll get those things resolved, and they may get interested in the things of God and in the ministry and those kind of things. But initially, when they're babies, they're only interested in themselves. Babies always think they're bigger than they are. You take a little old youngin', you know, he's just learned to crawl, learned to walk, and it thinks it can do anything. I had a shotgun, and we was going to shoot it one afternoon. Seth is about 4 years old. The shotgun weighs more than he does, and it's three times as tall as he is. Pa, I want to shoot it. You let Ryan shoot it. I want to shoot it. I said, buddy, you just ain't big enough to shoot this gun. I can do it. Well, he can't. He can't hold it. And if he'd pulled the trigger, he'd have been flat on his back. But he thinks he can. And he just got beside himself with rage because I wouldn't let him. He got mad about something the other day because his mom was always telling him no. You know, he's been wanting to go play golf for 3 years. And I kept saying, when you turn 8, I'll take it. When you turn 8, I'll take it. And he just gets so wounded. And he told his mother, he said, I just ain't big enough for nothing. Got that pouty look on his face. Just, I just ain't big enough for nothing. Kids always think they're bigger than they really are. They always think they can do more than they can do. You know what? It's our job to make sure they don't get overloaded. Amen? That's the way it is with newborn Christians. The pastor and some of you folks have been saved for a while. It's our job to watch out for them and make sure they don't try to do things they're not big enough to do. Now this is a characteristic of babies. Babies are without shame. You take a little baby, year old, 2 years old, sometimes 3, 4 years old. They don't care if they got any clothes on. They don't care if they got a diaper on. They're not interested in clothes. Mamas go out and buy these pretty little outfits, and they put them on them little babies, and they look so precious, and the little hats and all. And I appreciate all that. But I'm here to tell you, that's for mama. It ain't for that youngin. I ain't got a clue in the world and could care less. He don't care whether it's clean or dirty. He don't care whether it's new or not. He don't care what color it is. He's not fashion conscious at all. You take it off of him, he is just as happy as when he had it on. Amen? If you went downtown Charlotte and took a 2-year-old and stripped it naked as a jaybird and turned it loose, it would not be embarrassed. Like a lot of women these days. You know, I mean, just run around uncovered. But there ought to be some shame. Now, I'm a nice looking man, well built, nice chest and all that stuff, big biceps. Well, you ain't never going to see them. Amen?
Why? Because I ain't taking nothing off, that's why. You see these fellas get out here in the summertime and take their shirts off? You ain't never seen me without mine.
Well, I just don't take my clothes off, that's why. Amen. I'm going to stay covered up. I'm supposed to stay covered up. All these women running around with them with shorts and stuff on, their legs and their thighs hanging out, you know, and the curvature of their backside exposed and all that so men can look and lust. You're about half crazy. You need to cover up. Amen. Man, most of the time folks grow up, a woman is a lady, she's modest. She learns how to sit without exposing herself. She learns how to dress without causing undue attention. Why? Because she gets shamed when she thinks people are gawking and that kind of stuff. And that's the way it ought to be. We ought to have some modesty. Some things ought to bring shame to our face, make our face turn red. But boy, you can't do that to a baby. You can't embarrass them. Amen? You can always tell a baby from an adult. Babies have no shame. Adults should. I'm not saying they do. I'm saying they should. You know, young Christians are the same way. They get saved washing the blood of a lamb. And I believe they're really saved. But they live in, a lot of times, some pretty wicked lives. And they're totally unembarrassed about it. They're oblivious. The problem is they don't know yet. They haven't learned yet. They haven't grown enough yet to know that the way they're living is an embarrassment. That it hurts the cause of Christ. Now, in a good church where there's good preaching, and in a good church where there are people that'll take them under their wing and help them, they will learn. And then they'll be ashamed of the way they're living. And they'll cover up. They'll clean up. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. I know this about babies. Babies are thankless. You think that baby appreciates you sticking that bottle in its mouth, bathing it and putting a fresh diaper on it, buying it all them pretty new outfits? That baby don't care. He expects you to feed him. When he cries, he expects you to check his diaper and open his mouth. Amen. And he's not going to say thank you. And when they get 3, 4, 5 years old, you take them down to Walmart and buy them half the toy department, and they're not going to be thankful for it. They're just going to take all that junk home and take it apart. Amen? I'm here to tell you, you can't do enough for babies. A couple years ago, we decided to go up to Dollywood. They were having a Gospel Music Month in October. We try to go up there every year for 3, 4 days. Took the kids. Well, man, we got a really nice motel room. Bought tickets for all the concerts for Dollywood. Took them to the Cherokee Indian Reservation and let them get their picture made with the Indian chief. Took them in the bear den, let them play with all the bears. Took them trout fishing. Took them to the Dixie Stampede. Did something out of Sevierville. What was? Oh, took them down to the aquarium. They got that brand new Ripley's aquarium thing. We went and went and went and went and went and went and ate out and spent money and boy, I'm spent money. And it was all over time to go home. We're coming home, and so help me, one of them grandkids says, "Pa, when we get home, can we get a movie?" I said, "When you get home, you can get in bed, boy." They're thankless. And you can't do enough for a baby. They'll let you do till you just can't do anymore. Amen. Newborn baby Christians are like that. They don't always appreciate what's done for them. Amen. I'm trying to hurry, honest, I am. I'll tell you something else about babies. All babies want approval. You know what them little suckers want to hear you say? That was good. You done good. Amen? Seth, God bless his heart, he wants to play golf because Pop plays golf. And he will get out in the front yard, and I bought him a set of golf clubs, and he's got some little golf balls, and he will get out there in that yard in the heat of the day and whack golf balls. And when I come home, he'll come running to my truck and say, Pa, said I've been practicing more than I'm whacking them good. I said, well, let me see you. And he'd get all set. And buddy, if determination was the key to success, this guy would be getting ready for the PGA Tour. He'd get set up, all fixed up, and he'd bring it. And he hit the... If he hit the ground, he'd break his arm. And it'll go flying. Put something, I mean, he probably hit it sometimes 40 yards. Pretty good. And the first thing he does, though, I mean, he makes that swing, and that little head spins around like a bullet to see the look on my face and what I'm going to say. And if I say, boy, you really whacked that one. That was good. That little face just lights up. He wants your approval. He wants to think that what he did is acceptable, that you liked it. He equates that with being loved. Amen. Let me tell you something. Sometimes folks get saved, little old babies in Christ. And they don't... I know we've got to say, you can't do this, you can't do that, and you shouldn't do that, and no, that's wrong. And we need to do that gently. We need to do it over a period of time. We need to help them grow. But we need to encourage them a little bit every now and then, too. We need to say, you did good. I'm proud of you. You did good. I'm sure the Lord appreciates that. You did good. You helped overcome. It's called positive reinforcement if you're a school teacher. They need it. I've never known anybody that didn't like to be approved of. I've never known anybody that did not like a compliment. I've never known anybody that did not appreciate it when somebody told them they did well. I've been preaching 30 years, and I'm going to preach the same if nobody ever says, preacher, that was good. Ain't going to bother me a bit. I'm a full-grown man. I know what I'm preaching, I know why I preach it, and I know who I preach it for. But I'll be just as honest with you. When you come by sometimes and say, preacher, I really enjoyed that one. That one was just for me. Well, you outdid yourself this morning. Makes me feel good. Now, that's not why I'm doing it. And if I don't get it, I'm not going to quit. But I still like it. Amen. I bet you there's not an adult in this room that doesn't like it when somebody approves of and appreciates and recognizes what you do. And it won't hurt every now and then to tell somebody. Especially the youngins. Somebody's been saved as long as I have. We ought to be over it by now. Amen. But by the way, I've learned that about half the folks who tell me that are lying anyway, you know. But... something about babies. Babies are without guile. That is, there's no craftiness in them. Now, by the time they get to be 2.5, 3 years old, there is. You got to watch them. Little old babies are kind of you if you ain't careful. They have their own agenda. But you take them little bitty ones, they either like it or they don't. They either want it or they don't. What you see is what you get. Isn't that wonderful? Probably the only honest creatures on the planet It don't take them long to learn how to manipulate, connive and contrive, misrepresent, become selfish. Don't take long to learn all those attributes. But when they're really little, they're without guile. They're without hypocrisy. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? I like new Christians. They haven't learned to put on airs yet. They haven't learned to play church yet. They haven't learned all the lingo. They'll say the craziest things like a little young'un does, you know. Oh, man. That guy knew how bad that sounded. But he don't. He just told you how he felt about it. How he sees it. That's just plain refreshing. That's refreshing. I love all that honesty. Man, by the time they've been saved 10 years, they know how to play the game and look religious when they're not, and be spiritual when they're not, and, you know, cover up their bad deeds. We learn quick. But them new converts, they're refreshing. You ask them a question, they just tell you the honest God truth. They just open up their heart. I just love that. They're so vulnerable, but they're so honest. Let me close with this. Everybody knows who the babies are. You can spot them as far as you can see it. They're the little guys in the lady's arm. They're the little ones laid across mama's shoulder. They are so recognizable. They are absolutely and utterly